Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
And now, ladies and gentlemen,
this is Learn to Kick Fear with Love.
Take action.
Learn how internet marketers, real estate investors, and other entrepreneurs are overcoming their fears and making it happen and being successful.
You know she's got the 411.
It's time to kick those fears to the curb with Love. Right now.
Right now.
Right now.
Hey, hey, Lo here. What's going on? So excited to share with you this incredible interview with the legendary William Tingle. He is breaking it down how to acquire property subject to by being the bank and not being a landlord. Check it out. He answers some of the most frequently asked questions from real estate investors as well as sellers. Check it out.
Excited at the guest that we have, it's the legendary Mr. William Tingle. But before I get him in and he's just going to share some exceptional information concerning acquiring property subject to. Guys, just a little bit about William before we jump in with him. I have known about William, Mr. William Tingle, ever since I started back in 2007. There was two people I learned about subject to investing and was so intrigued, and that's Mark Evans and also Mr. William Tingle. So William's been around for a while, and he's accumulated over about 500 deeds, 500. So that's a lot. And he's super knowledgeable about this particular real estate investing strategy. And I think this is just the perfect time, especially with the market. For those of you that don't know or understand subject to investing, to start learning. So without any further delay, hey, Carla, thanks for jumping on. Without any further delay, I want to go ahead and welcome William. William, you there?
I'm here.
Awesome.
I am.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you, man, for taking the time. I know you're busy, but I really, really appreciate you.
Well, I always enjoy talking to you, Lo. I mean, you're just a great person, and your group is fantastic. I'm just really honored to be here. Thanks so much.
Sure. Not a problem. And I also want to throw out there, guys, William has one of the fastest growing real estate investing groups on the subject of subject to investing right now. It's Subject to Real Estate Forum. So make sure you check out his forum. Make sure and go ahead and be a part of the group. All right. And then you can talk a little bit more about that later. But right now, William, I want you to share a little bit about your background, you know, what you were doing before you got in started in real estate investing, and maybe what interests you and how you got started.
Okay. Well, in 1999, I was a district manager for a restaurant chain. I was a district manager for the state of Georgia. I worked about 70 hours a week. I drove hundreds of miles every week, managed several stores. And, you know, I've been in the restaurant business for about 20 years. And if anybody's ever been in that business, you know, it never gets any better. You know, that's why every restaurant is always hiring. They're hiring managers, employees. It doesn't matter. Nobody stays with it. It's hard, hard work. And, you know, I thought that would be my career. I kind of got into it by accident. And, you know, I looked up one day, I started out as a dishwasher. Here I was a district manager. You know, I was making pretty good money, but I didn't have much of a life. I was married, had two small kids under the age of 10, and I was just really becoming discouraged. at the prospects and I actually tried to open a franchise restaurant. I thought, well, if I work for myself, it'll be better. Had an excellent credit score, had assets, and went to get the loan. They said, oh, it'll be a shoe-in, no problem. And on my birthday, May the 11th, 1999, I got a call from the banker processing it. And he said, I don't know how to tell you this. They've turned you down. And, you know, it was just really one of the lowest points of my life. You know, I can't even, I've done all this work. I can't even open my own place. And about that time, one of my managers quit. So I packed a bag, going out of town for a couple of days to close the store and try to get things situated. And I was up at 2 a.m. in the morning watching television, and a Carlton Sheets infomercial came on television, you know, and Carlton Sheets, and, you know, there are just some infomercials that if you're flipping channels and you see one, you just start watching it. And I'd always been that way about Carlton Sheets, but never ordered the course. I thought, you know, I thought it was crazy. All those yahoos talking about they own all those properties on the same street. But I ordered it that night, and when it got there, I opened it up. I started reading, and I was just overwhelmed by all the information. And I said, man, I'm just never going to get it. But I didn't know, you know, we didn't have the internet like we have now. I mean, the internet existed, but we didn't have Facebook and so much access to people all the time. So I didn't know a lot of the things that he said do wouldn't work. So I did them, and they worked. And I started buying houses. And a year later, I quit my job, and I haven't worked for anyone else since. So that's kind of what happened.
Oh, that's fantastic. And you know what's interesting is what we both have in common is that's how I got started. It was a Carlton Sheets infomercial. And I ordered it, and I haven't looked back. So it's very similar. And I think that's a lot of real estate investors that's been around for a while, how they got started, too. So that's absolutely fantastic. And everybody, don't y'all love William's avatar? I just want to put that out there. So he didn't necessarily have a web camera. And I told him, I said, man, you got an avatar you can show. So anyway, I like your avatar. It's really cool.
Yeah, I got a girl that does a lot of graphic stuff for me. And she does them. She's pretty good.
Yep. I love it. I love it. Well, let's dive in. Let's dive into some of the most frequently asked questions and questions that have been sent to me. And I'm sure we may get a few more while we're on here tonight. Someone said, love it. Carlton Sheets is also how my hubby and I started back in the 1990s. Absolutely. A lot of folks. So first question, just break down a little bit. What is subject to investing for those that don't know?
Well, you know, people, I meet a lot of people that ask me about subject to, like it's some kind of magic wand or something, you know, oh, man, you can buy houses subject to, you know, how does that, you know, that's some kind of magical thing. Well, no, it's really not. It's just an acquisition method. It's just like lease options or getting a loan and buying from the bank or seller financing or anything else. It's just a way to buy the house. The difference with subject to is that you're actually going to get legal title. You know, a deed is going to be exchanged. Your seller's going to deed the house to you, but they're also going to stay on the hook for that financing, and they're just going to let you start making the payments. So that is what is unique about subject to. I like to say that you'll own the house and the seller still owns the loan.
I like that. I mean, you can't put it any clearer than that. And that's exactly what it is. Yep. And I just want to share the very first deal that I did back in 07, 08 was a subject to deal. And it just blew me away. I was hooked. And how I actually got the deal was online, doing some online marketing, got the deal, got the paperwork with the homeowner, and I started marketing the property online. Found a buyer out of state. Gave him all of the information that he needed. And once he was satisfied, he PayPal'd me $2,500. From that point, I was hooked. So, yeah, that was my very first deal. But next question, which I get a lot, subject to, is it illegal?
Well, you know, you'll have attorneys and real estate agents and all kind of people tell you that it's illegal. I mean, I was talking to a student of mine the other day who actually is trying to start working with agents more for leads. And she had an agent that was on board with her, and they were, you know, getting along well, and things were flowing well. And then all of a sudden she got a text one night and said, "Hey, I just talked to so-and-so, a real estate attorney. And he said, what you're doing is illegal. And I can't be doing none of that." And then they're done. You know, she's not even answering her messages anymore. So you'll hear that from a lot of people. But the truth is, there's absolutely nothing illegal, immoral, unethical about subject two. It's been going on since mortgages have existed. And the example that I always give, especially when an agent says, "Oh, that's illegal," I say, "Well, have you taken a look at line 203 or line 503 on your HUD lately, where it says existing loans taken subject to?" It's already on the HUD. You know, how is it illegal? Point, you know, tell me how it could possibly be illegal. But the direct answer to your question is no, it's not. It's you know, you can actually take a loan subject to in all 50 states and many countries around the world.
Awesome. Thank you for clearing that up. And I'm getting questions, come in, and we're going to get to those questions, guys. Thank you so much for posting them in the comments. So if you have any additional questions, go ahead and post them in the comments. Okay. So the next question, what type of sellers, because some people will be like, what seller in their right mind would just give their deed to an investor? So what type of sellers would sell their home subject to?
Well, I can certainly understand that. When I first learned about subject two, I thought it was probably a unicorn as well. And actually, my first subject two, I couldn't believe it was happening. Someone called me off a bandit sign, and I fumbled through the paperwork and screwed a lot of stuff up. But we got the deal done, and he was just a motivated seller. But you'll have sellers, you know, about a third of the houses that we buy are from people in foreclosure, but the rest of them are just people that have a circumstance in their life that requires them to move a property. And I think it's all really in the presentation. I don't go into a lot of technical terms and talking about subject to and land trust and that type of stuff with sellers. I simply listen to their story, try to find out why they would like to sell. Maybe they're moving for a new job. Maybe they're getting a divorce and neither one can afford the payment on their own. I get the story, and then I just usually say something like, "Well, listen, we have a program that we can do occasionally, and where we just come in and make the payments for you until we can find a buyer that can get new financing. Now, would that work for you?" And I already know the story. I know the answer to the question. And they'll say, "Well, yeah, you know, that would probably work. Tell me a little more about it." And I do. But any kind of seller, they don't have to be extremely distressed. We bought a house last month from a lady who her husband had died in February, and she was just moving out of state. She'd gotten a large life insurance settlement. And, the house had a little bit of equity. She owed about $190,000. It was worth about $215,000. And, she had money, but she was moving. She said, "I'm not up to dealing with realtors and people coming through my house all the time. I just need a quick sale." And so we proposed taking over her payments. And she said, "Sounds good to me." So, you know, that lady was in no financial distress. Her situation made subject to attractive to her. So you'll find people in all types of situations, not just people that are really desperate.
Absolutely. That's great. And so what I heard mainly in that is, you know, the better you are at listening and the better you are at problem solving, you'll have more of these type of opportunities for sellers that may not necessarily be able or want to sell their house traditionally. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah. The story is what's important, and that's where the deal's found in what we do. Now, as far, you know, wholesalers or people that go in and make cash offers, you know, they've got a formula they use. They go in, they make their offer, they do whatever. You know, we're looking for people who want to sell, you know, for a specific reason. It's the story, you know, that'll make what we do work.
Absolutely. And of course, you know, the next question is, and I've already gotten one particular individual that has asked, so how do you target or market to these type of sellers? Are we targeting maybe expired listings? And if so, what's the best approach? Is it direct mail, or What are your thoughts on that? Or what are you seeing that works best?
First, here's what you need to know based, you know, just on what I just told you, any seller can be a subject to seller. All you need is motivation and financing. Now, obviously, someone with a free and clear property is not going to be able to do it. They don't owe anything. But as far as how to target, you can do the same types of marketing that you do for any other type of investing. You can do marketing that gets people to call you, bandit signs. Matter of fact, the deal that we got last month was off a bandit sign that we put out last year. And I know it was a bandit sign we put out last year because we stopped doing them in January of this year. But bandit signs, direct mail works really well. Expired listings, something I call soon to expire. I like to do mailings to people who are on their last couple of months of a listing. And I've got a unique approach to that. We've been doing that for a long time. Now, statistically, the percentage response rate on that is much higher. I'm looking for a specific seller that needs to sell and that listed because they're not aware of other options. Most people list because that's just how you sell a house. You know, they don't really know anything else to do. But we'll mail to those guys and say, hey, I noticed your house has been for sale for a while. If your listing expires and you don't get any offers, give us a call. We can buy within 48 hours. And sometimes they'll come from the mailbox and pick up the phone, you know. But as far as targeting direct mail, that sort of thing, we do those to the soon to expires, the expires, the foreclosures. And we get a lot of deals from cold calling. You know, a lot of people are scared of that. But listen, we get a lot of results that way. And the reason why is because a lot of people are scared. You know, if a lot of people won't do it, it's a good way for you to get some leads. So you can call, you can use bandit signs, you can do direct mail, you can do all the same things. Remember, when you get the lead, though, when you get a response, that's when you talk to them and get the story, and you'll find out if the technique will work.
Absolutely. That's awesome. We got a question here. Someone asked, so whose money do you use to catch up the loan? Or I think that what they meant was if the seller is behind 2 or 3 or 4 months of payments or more, who catches that up?
Well, it depends. If foreclosure is imminent, I mean, if we've got a date and it's coming, you know, I'll either use my money or I'll use a private lender, which, you know, and I'm not talking about hard money. I'm talking about people you have relationships with. I'm sure you've talked to your folks here about private money before. You'll use one of those two sources. Now, one of my favorite things to do, especially if you don't have a foreclosure date, so you're not under the gun, is let's say, for example, that somebody calls me and they're 4 payments behind, their payments are $1,000 a month with other fees and things. We need $5,000 to cure. It's $100,000. Let's say it's a $100,000 house and they owe, I don't know, $95,000. There's not a whole lot of equity. What I'll do is get that thing under contract, start marketing it immediately. If it's a $100,000 house, we're going to try to get about $10,000 down. So I will actually make up the arrears with my buyer's down payment money. Yeah. So we don't even have to use our own money in a lot of cases. And if the people aren't in distress and aren't behind on payments, we always get our sellers going out the door to make the next payment. Because remember, mortgage is made in arrears, rent's paid in advance. So, you know, Mr. Seller, remember when you bought your house, you didn't have a payment for 30 days. Now, when you're moving out the end of September, that October 1st payment's for the month of September you lived in the house. So we need you to make that October 1st payment. So I've got, you know, an additional 30 days after they've moved to get my buyer.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Being creative, because when you have a buyer, this is the beautiful thing about subject to, and what you're talking about is taking it over, but not becoming a landlord. You're going to find an owner finance buyer to put in that house. So when they pay that down payment is, you know, they won't be able to get it back. It's non-refundable, correct?
That's low. That's all I do. Now, when you buy subject to, you own the house. You can do whatever you want. You can move in it yourself. You can rent it. You can lease it. You can sell it with owner financing. You can retail it. You own it. You can do whatever you like. Now, me, my business model, all I do is buy subject to, sell with owner financing. I'm not into the landlord thing. I've been there. Okay. Got the t-shirt. I'm not doing it. You know, I operate 4,000 miles away from anything I have. So I don't even think we mentioned that I live out of the country.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah. You're in beautiful Belize, which I'm not hating on. You know, I'm just saying. That's awesome. Yeah. I love it. That's awesome. So can't wait to visit you.
I moved down here in 2010. So I've been here about 9 years. And everything I do is remote. Of course, you can. I did it in my own town for 12 years. That's all I do. Buy subject to, sell with owner financing.
That is fantastic. Awesome. And we have another question here. So, and I get this question a lot. What about the due on sales clause? How do you deal with that?
Well, I got to tell you, I've been doing this since 1999, and I've bought houses with loans on them from Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Regions Mortgage. I mean, just Washington Mutual, you name it, we've done it. And I've never had anybody say anything about a due on sale clause. As a matter of fact, a few months ago, I put out Facebook posts and stuff all over. I said, please, please, if you have any knowledge of an actual due on sale incident, please contact me. I would like to talk to you on my podcast. And I had about a dozen people contact me. And of those dozen, there were only a couple that were actually verifiable. And we actually knew that the cases had happened. The rest of them were all friends of friends. And well, I heard about it and that sort of the boogeyman, you know, and that sort of thing. So we actually did a podcast on the due on sale clause. Short answer, it's a non-issue. You know, if it happens, there are steps you can take, and that would take a long time to go into. But I've been doing it 20 years. I've never had anybody even mention it. Most of the investors that I know will tell you the same thing. So it's really, you know, the bank wants their payments. It's really what.
Yeah. And that's what I was about to say. Is it safe to say that at the end of the day, as long as the banks are getting their mortgage payment, they're not going to mess with you because they're getting their money? Is that accurate?
I believe so. You know, I used to do a 3-day training years ago, and I would bring in all of the bankers from the banks that I did business with. There was a large regional bank and two small local banks, and they all said the same thing. Listen, the book says you can't transfer title. If you do, we call the loan due. The truth of the matter is we don't care, you know? So,
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. Yep. Another question, and we're getting a couple other questions in, which is great. I appreciate you guys being interactive because I know that this is a very interesting topic, but what I want to talk to you about, William, is I think talk about the timeliness of this particular strategy and how investors can really take advantage of the market. And what I mean is because here in the DFW area, and I know in other markets too, we've been seeing more properties sit on the market longer. And just to share with you and everyone else, I actually talked with a lead today. He's in New York, he's getting ready to go out of the country, but he has a property here in Saginaw, and Saginaw's 10 minutes from us. But it was built, I think, about 10 years ago. He's totally updated it. It's been vacant for 2.5 months and listed for about 2.5 months. And he's ready to get rid of it. So I talked to him in depth today about seller financing and subject to, and not that particular language, but just kind of explained how we can help him sell it. And he's very open to it. So when he comes back from being out of the country, the first week in October, we're going to meet because he has a couple of other properties that he wants to get rid of. So I'm really excited because he is extremely open about that. But I want you to talk about the timeliness of this particular type of strategy and how investors can really take advantage of it.
Well, I mean, personally, I don't think there's ever been a better time for subject to. Say that for a couple of reasons. You know, we're in a decent market right now. I mean, things are slowing down just a little bit in some places, long enough to hurt most people that need to sell. The big reason that I really love it, there are just so many loans to take over with 2.5% and 3% interest rate loans, where you can wrap this note to your buyer and still give them a decent interest rate. Lo, you remember in 2002, 2003, if you were investing at that time, when we were, man, we jumped for joy if we took over a loan with an 8 or 9% interest rate. That was great. But I typically sell to my buyers now at less interest rates than that. So, and still make $500 a door in cash flow. I mean, it's just incredible. The cash flow that you can make for these things, you can buy a house right now with relatively low equity. I mean, we typically buy at 90% LTV and we can, you know, sell with owner financing and make a $50,000 to $60,000 profit over 36 months.
Yep.
It's just, the spread is just unbelievable on even a low equity deal. And for those reasons, I think it's just absolutely the best time. Because, and here's the thing too, even if the market takes a hit, you know, everybody's always doom and gloom. Well, in the next 12 months, in the next 15 months, well, gee, if we really knew, you know, I'd win the lottery next week if I could tell you when this was going to happen. But let's say the market tanks tomorrow and the property loses value. If you're still able to make $400 or $500 a month cash flow, I don't care what that house is worth. I don't care if it's $50,000 underwater. Please, if I can make $500 a door, I'm good with that.
Yep.
So I don't think there's been a better time. You're taking over those loans at 3%, 4%. You're going to make some incredible money.
Absolutely. It's all about the cash flow. And what's interesting, I wasn't in quite yet, 2002, 2003, 2004. I missed it. I jumped in 07, 08. But that was during the time of that particular, the start of the cycle. So we were able to accumulate some of those subject twos. But now that I see the turn in the cycle, you know, which we're much more educated, we're much more experienced. And I see how, you know, we are taking action to take advantage of this opportunity to help homeowners. And I do want to say that. So nobody will say, well, are you trying to take advantage of sellers? No, that's not what this is about. It's about bringing another solution to sellers that need to sell their property with this particular option to help them and at the same time to help us, right, as investors.
That's absolutely correct. You know, and that's what I teach all of my students. Anyone that's in my coaching group will tell you, especially when dealing with people in distress, my standard, you know, speech to them is you approach these people with a heart to help first. And if you can help them, if their situation has improved and they could really save their house, I can't tell you the number of times I've got on the phone with the bank and negotiated for the homeowner to be able to have arrears put on the back end of the loan, forbearance, you know, just a redo of the loan, what have you, so they can stay, you know, and that does a lot for your reputation in the community and everything else. It feels really nice to be able to do it. But, you know, we make some phenomenal deals out there, too. So, I mean, it just it allows you to help people and make an incredible income. Being an investor has got to be the absolute best line of work there is, you know, in my opinion.
Yes, I agree. All right. We're going to move on. We've got a few more questions here. I got a question. When you own or finance a property, you know, to the buyer, is the deed transferred over to the buyer at that point in time, or is it after they pretty much are in the property for however long they're contracted to be in? So 3 years or 5 years where they have to cash out.
Well, now some of that may depend. In the markets that I work in, I do not deliver the deed at the time that they take possession. I do what's called a contract for deed, and they get equitable title, but not legal title. I'm hanging on to that because it gives me a little bit more control if they ever decide they don't want to pay or whatever happens. In most cases, it's a little bit easier for me to get them out. Now, as I understand it, in Texas, what did someone tell me the other day? Texas gives contract for deed the side eye. That's what she told me. So you guys probably have to sell on a wrap, but it doesn't really matter. You know, just get the deal done. You'll make money.
Awesome. And yes, I do want to put a disclaimer out there. We are here in Texas, and I know each state is different. That's why, again, it's all, you know, that much more important to make sure you're with a title company, with the escrow officer, with attorneys that understand how to do these type of deals. And again, I just want to give another shout out to Mary Martinez and McKnight Title. Now, with that being said, another question. Now, do you form a separate land trust for each property, or is that necessary? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I can't imagine buying a house without a trust. I mean, that's just the way I do business and have almost since I learned about trust. But I used a trust whether we bought subject to or we paid cash. We used to buy houses for cash. We used to rehab and do a lot of stuff. And every house went into a trust. The advantages are just so, gosh, that's a whole other show for you. As far as, you know, just avoiding probate if something happens, privacy, the whole nine yards. But to answer the question, yes, each property, if you use a trust, each property gets its own separate land trust, but it's just a few pieces of paper. It's not complicated. And, you know, once you learn how to do it, and if you have a good title company, they can take care of that for you.
Absolutely. Awesome. Thank you. Now, do you use a third party to collect the payments? And if you do, someone's asking, if you do, who do you use? If you care to share that or think about.
We actually set our buyers up with a company called Clear Now. I've got a link for it on our website under the resources tab. If you use that link, you'll actually get a couple of months free. We use that company to actually process the payment. It's an ACH. It's drafted out of their bank account. It hits our bank account within 48 hours. So they're very quick on their turnaround. They're very inexpensive. The reason we use them, it just makes things simpler. Plus, they charge you $7 for your first account, and then it's only $2 a piece after that. So the money's drafted straight into your account. Then, of course, you can, you know, disperse it wherever it needs to go. But we use that company to do that. And then we just write checks or pay online to pay the underlying mortgage payments.
Awesome. Awesome. That's great. Someone's asking, how long do you give yourself on the contract to close? And that may be a two-part, because I know the first closing is with the seller, and the second closing is going to be with the end buyer. So could you address that?
Yeah. If the question is closing with our seller, in other words, how long do we give ourselves to buy? Well, that's going to depend. The example I gave you earlier with the lady that her husband had passed, you know, she contacted us, gosh, in June, and she said, listen, I'm going to move in middle August so I can get my kids back to South Dakota before school starts. And in those cases, listen, we close at their convenience. You know, that's one of the reasons she used us. She didn't want to have to worry about people in her house all the time. And she had a contract and she had to close by this date and get out of the house. You know, she wanted the flexibility to do things on her timetable. And so our service was advantageous for her. Now, in another case, if somebody's in foreclosure, I've had people call me at midnight the night before the auction. Now, you got to move pretty fast in that case. Yeah. And you need to have those resources in place. And there's several things that you would need to have to be able to do that. But it depends on the individual circumstances. Literally, we can close in 48 hours with no problem.
Awesome. Awesome. Great information. I'll tackle another question or two as they come in. Are you all right with that, William?
Hey, listen, we can go until they're tired of talking.
Awesome. I appreciate you. So one question just came in. What do you think about titling the property over into an LLC that's named after the property address or the borrower's name?
You know, I heard people talked about that a lot when we first started using land trust, that if you title the trust in either the seller's name, like if you buy a house from Joe Smith, make it the Smith Family Trust and that sort of thing. This is what I think. Most people do that because they think it's going to give them some kind of an edge with the due on sale or something like that. I don't think it's necessary. I think if you like doing that, then you should do it. Otherwise, I don't think there's an advantage to it at all. I used to, when I invested locally, I've had several properties on one street before, and I used to actually name my trust after the street address so I could keep them all straight.
Right.
So yep. I think you should name it whatever you want to. I don't think it's going to give you an advantage one way or the other.
Awesome. Yep. And I've heard of that. Fantastic. We got those that's on the saying, thanks, William. Thanks, William. So right now what I want to do, I don't think we have any other questions, but guys, William has done something really special for the group, which I'm very excited about. For those of you that are very serious about learning how to leverage and use this strategy for your business and to take advantage of this particular market, impossible market, that it's going to continue to favor these type of deals, subject to deals to help homeowners. He has a fantastic subject to course. And William, I want you to talk a little bit about the course and what people can expect from it.
Well, Lo, I wrote this course several years ago. We just did an update on it in November of last year to add some new stuff that we're doing and just, you know, some new marketing things. I mean, a lot of things have changed since then and we made those adjustments. But I wrote that course because the main reason was because at the time, most of the subject to courses were $1,000 or $1,500. And I said, you know, that's ridiculous, really. So we put this thing out here. It was very affordably priced. I think our price on it now is $377, I believe, is the price we've got on it now. But and it just walks you through A to Z, you know, from the very start, how you need to set up your office, your filing system, how to talk to sellers, how to talk to buyers, what to do, what not to do. I mean, really, it's just an A to Z course on how to buy subject to. I included all the forms that we use. Now, do know any course or any educational material that you buy, you really need to have it run by a title company or an attorney in your state because things change from state to state. These forms were all based on the business that I did in Georgia. So, you know, if you lived in the state of Georgia, hey, listen, you can use them out of the box. I'm cool with that. I would say that. Any other state, please pay an attorney for an hour of their time and let them look at things. But it's really just an A to Z, start to finish, how to buy them, how to close them yourself if you want to, and then how to sell them on lease option or with owner financing. So it's just really for the starting investor who doesn't know anything about subject to. You can literally take that course, read it, go out, buy your first house and do it.
Absolutely. Start taking action. And what William has done, and which he's been very generous, and I appreciate you, William, for everyone. And I'm going to provide the link. He's giving $50 off, $50 off on this course for everyone that takes action that's a part of this group. All right. And I'll make sure again to provide the link. But if you're serious about learning, 12 years in the business, I totally understand how important it is for you to invest. But to invest in the best and the best information for those that have done it for a long time and has had a consistent, outcome of success in whatever strategy that they use. So, again, I'll provide the link for you guys. Again, it's going to be $50 off for those of you that's interested in taking action. And William, thank you for providing that opportunity for everyone.
Well, don't forget to give them the code.
Oh, yes. I will definitely give you the code. Yeah, that'll all be provided. So, yes.
Okay, that's good. I didn't want them to not use the code for you.
So, yes.
So they get $50 off. Yeah.
Exactly. And I'll make sure and provide that code, guys. So once we get off this call, the verbiage as a part of this particular video will be updated and you'll have the link and the code that you can use to go ahead and take advantage of this particular course and start learning. And also, I want to encourage you all to join William's Facebook group at Subject to Real Estate Forum. It is fantastic. He is extremely active there. And there's other investors that are learning and growing like yourself and also others that have been in for a while that's taking action and getting results.
Well, I actually got a URL to make it easier for people to find. You can just go to Sub2Forum. That's SUB, the number 2Forum.com, and it'll switch you over to the Facebook group.
Awesome. Thanks. I'll make sure and provide that too for everyone. Okay. They can just easily go there. Awesome. Somebody say, can this video be watched later? Yes. So all the replay folks that's watching now, thank you. Again, the special will be going on for a little while. We'll probably put a time on it. So those of you that are serious, so go ahead and